from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Next up on this morning's forum program, Nike Incorporated Chairman Philip H. Knight announced today that he has pledged to give Stanford University $400 million. We'll talk with Stanford's president, John Hennessy, about the gift. Then in the second part of the hour, Ethan Kanen will join us in studio. He ponders the challenges of genius, addiction, and family in his newest novel, A Doubter's Almanac. Join us for Forum. It's up ahead after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's forum program. Thanks to a $400 million donation from Nike co-founder Phil Knight, Stanford University announced that it would be creating the world's largest graduate-level scholarship program. With a $750 million endowment, it will be the largest fully endowed scholarship program in the world. And outgoing Stanford President John Hennessy will join us in a moment to discuss the new scholarship. But first, let's hear Phil Knight, co-founder of Nike, describe what this means.
This program will take people from all over the world and send them back to their countries. They will become great scientists, great educational leaders, become great political leaders. They'll become foreign ministers and prime ministers and great business people and environmental leaders. It will be simply a program that, in my opinion, will change the world.
That was Phil Knight talking about changing the world, and John L. Hennessy, outgoing Stanford president, joins us this morning. President Hennessy, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Good morning, Michael. Delighted to be here.
Pleased to have you here. Tell us a little bit about how this all got started. I know Phil Knight has been a generous benefactor to Stanford, also University of Oregon, where my daughter went. And how does this happen? Does he come to you? Do you go to him?
I went to him. I started brainstorming probably now 18 months ago, 2 years ago almost, about what I could do in my final few years as president and what we could do in service of the entire world, what we could do at Stanford, build on what we've had. And I went to Mr. Knight over the last summer and described the idea, and he immediately resonated with it. His interest in philanthropy and in education was a driver, but so was this global vision of getting scholars from around the world and sending them back to their countries to really have a positive influence on the countries they come from.
Yeah, he described it as not a gift from him, but a gift from Stanford to him, because he really clearly feels that it will make a major impact, and also that you won't have the brain drain of people winding up in the United States as opposed to going back to their own countries.
Yeah, and that's a goal for us. I think we're looking for people who are committed to make a difference in the region they come from. And I think, as Phil said, he did say it was a gift to him. It is his 78th birthday, so I thought it was a really great day to do this announcement.
Well, happy birthday to Phil Knight. Who's the ideal candidate for this? San Jose Mercury News mentioned that the focus would be for people interested in solving problems like climate change, poverty, and affordable health care. That's pretty much what you're looking for?
Well, we're looking for people who are interested in tackling those big problems, because we think that's where great leadership, great collaborative skills, great education can really have a significant impact. And we're looking for students from around the world. We've said our goal is to get about a third of the students from the U.S., but that means two-thirds of them come from outside the U.S. And they'll come from every part of the world, from Africa, from South America, from Asia. And that's key to make this program successful.
Why the heavier number of international students? I mean, there might be a little bit of prickliness on that score by some who say, you know, the nod should be given more to U.S. students.
I think we've come to realize. I think in the last 20 or 30 years is the world is inherently interconnected, and what happens. Take an issue like climate change. You have to solve it as a global problem. Take the emerging infectious disease crisis we've had. You have to solve that as a global problem. The Zika virus is not going to just stay in a small part of the world. Take the issue of the refugee crisis. It's not just Syria. It's the impact of that crisis on Europe and on the U.S. and other parts of the world. So we think the entire world will be better if we have great leadership around the world.
And how is this different from the Rhodes Scholars Program at Oxford? Because it's been compared to that.
There are certainly some similarities. We've certainly studied and learned not only from Rhodes, but from the Gates Cambridge Scholarship as well, and the Fulbright Marshalls. We are completely global. That was a goal from the beginning. We want to have students from every single part of the world, and that was key. And we are really trying to focus on students through all disciplines. So they may come to the medical school, they may come to the business school, they may come to engineering, they may come to education. And I think that breadth we thought was key because the problems that we face are not in narrow disciplines. They're challenging problems that often span fields.
Talking with John L. Hennessy, who is the outgoing president of Stanford University, they just received a $400 million donation from Nike co-founder Phil Knight. And when are you going to start taking applicants and where can they apply?
We're going to start taking applicants next fall, late summer, early fall 2017. And the first class will arrive in the fall of 2018.
Any way of guaranteeing a kind of socioeconomic diversity in all this?
That's an excellent question, Michael. So one of the entire endowment of $750 million, $600 million is actually financial aid. So it's the vast majority of the money. And the goal was students from all backgrounds, all financial abilities, will get their entire education paid for. So it was critical to all of us that we can say to students, you come to this program, you will graduate with $0 of debt. So if you want to go into government, you want to go into education, you want to go into a nonprofit, that will work well for you.
This will be one of the, if not the largest endowment in the world. And there was discussion a while back, you may remember, President Hennessy, about whether higher education endowments should be taxed. Would you be open to an endowment being taxed?
Rather than tax them, what I'd like to see is I'd be perfectly happy to have some guidelines about how the endowments are being spent, and that, of course, are in line with what the IRS regulations are. I think we have no interest in hoarding this endowment, and quite frankly, if it was about building the endowment, I wouldn't be interested in running the program. I'm interested in getting those scholars here and sending them out to help change the world.
We'll bring our listeners into this. I know many people probably have questions for you. This is certainly very exciting and may literally change the world. But what about emphasis on STEM tech studies as opposed to humanities and all this?
So we are not biased in looking for people in tech. We are going to be looking for students in all walks of life. Certainly bringing them here to Silicon Valley, we hope to inject a little of the innovative spirit and the creative spirit that exists here in the Valley. But that's not limited to technology. We see that as having important applications in public policy, in the humanities, in the social sciences, as well as in technology.
We're talking again with President Hennessy, outgoing Stanford president, and this is about a $400 million donation, which is going to set up a program, which is a major international program, working like the Rhodes Scholarship Program, but in maybe even in a far more visionary way in many respects. I'd like to hear our listeners. We're going to be talking with Ethan Kanan, who has a new novel out, also a Harvard MD, and who studied engineering in the bottom half of this hour. But at this juncture, I'd like to invite those of you listening to join us with any questions or comments you have for President Hennessy about this program, which is the largest graduate scholarship program of its kind. Toll-free number is available. That number is 866-733-6786. And since this is a half-hour segment, if you'd like to join us with questions or comments, now indeed would be the time to call us. Again, you can join us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And before I bring our listeners into this, President Hennessy, you're stepping down, as I've said, this summer. What would you best like to be remembered for at the university? What would you like your legacy to be? This is a big part of it, I imagine.
Yeah, this is obviously a big part of it, but I think this builds on an earlier objective that I spent many of the first 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years of my presidency working on, which was enhancing financial aid for our own undergraduates so that any student can come to Stanford irrespective of their family income. And the hallmark of that is this year, Students who apply with family income below $125,000 pay $0 of tuition. And that has helped us make the university much more affordable and continue a dream that I think Jane Stanford had, that the very best students could come, irrespective of their family background.
And what excites you most about this program that you're putting in place thanks to the largesse of Phil Knight? I mean, you really think let me rephrase this, you really believe that we're going to be able to tackle some major world problems in not only new ways, but ways that will be, well, pathfinding?
Yeah, I think we will. I think we'll help create people who will lead those. These are not easy problems. I think that I think is implied by your question, Michael. These are tough problems, but they're also problems that require great leadership. And by getting great students here, and the way to think about this program is, it's 100 students a year. Over 20 years, that's 2,000 people who come through the program, and the potential impact they can have and that network can create, I think, is significant.
Looking at a comment from a listener, by the way, you can make your comments online, kqed.org/forum, or on our Facebook page. And this is Steve, who writes, "We should remember that because contributions to universities are tax deductible, a substantial portion of this donation is actually being provided by American taxpayers, and Phil Knight's actual contribution is lower than $400 million. President Hennessy?
Well, his contribution is $400 million. I think there are certainly tax benefits for people making charitable contributions, but I think $400 million far exceeds the charitable contribution that you are able to take. And I think Phil is doing this because he believes in the program and making a difference with his charity.
Here's a caller, Richard from Palo Alto. You're on. Good morning.
Good morning. President Kimony, how will this grant not result in fewer domestic students being accepted at Stanford University?
Well, the program, we will actually be taking about a third of the class will be international. This is a small piece of our overall graduate program, but it will have some additional U.S. students as well as some additional international students in it. So both will increase, but the numbers are relatively modest compared to the overall size of our graduate program.
And we thank you for the call, Richard. Let me get another caller who's joining us from up in Maine. David, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Hi, I'm a Stanford grad from 87, and I work on environmental issues around the world. I have for about 30 years. And I'm curious, Mr. Hennessy, how you see the challenge of talent drain, of potentially bringing talent in from around the world, training them, and then them deciding to stick around. This idea of sending them back home, how do you operationalize that, or what's your thinking on that?
Yeah, I think that is our goal, is to try to attract students who we think are committed to going back home. I think we realize that for some students, a model where they perhaps stay in the United States for a few years to establish themselves and learn additional skills and then go home will be the right one. There's no way to absolutely force this, of course, but we're going to try in our selection mechanism to get people who are really motivated by making a difference back in their home country.
Let me thank the caller. David, actually goes back to a point made by another caller of ours earlier, President Hennessy. Beth wanted to know why not focus more on domestic students who need the financial help? Why go overseas instead of helping students out at home?
Well, we think the opportunities available in so many parts of the world are so lacking by comparison with the U.S., and many of those people will come from countries where returning home is a significant financial disadvantage compared to what's available for a U.S. student who stays in this country. And we get back to the notion of the world as a small village that's actually intimately interconnected, and the fact that we need leadership around the world, in the developing world, in the developed world, just as much as we need it in the U.S.
I'm also inclined to mention to listeners that this is one of the largest grants or gifts ever from an individual donor to a university. It also, I believe, does it not represent, President Hennessy, the largest single increase in student financial aid in the history of Stanford?
Correct. This is about as much financial aid as I've raised over the last 15 years in graduate education, for example, in one new program.
Yeah, it is an extraordinary gift, and I believe Stanford has said that this is going to be providing funding for at least 3 years at graduate level. We'll be admitting, 100 scholars each year?
100 scholars each year.
Yeah, I just want to get those facts out there. Also, Stanford has certainly a great reputation for graduating students into the tech industry. Many of their programs, many of your programs and buildings on campus have benefited from tech community funding, Bill Gates and so forth. How do you ensure, I get back to this because I happen to be a professor in the humanities, but that other departments like the humanities also get funding and support?
Yeah. Well, I think your question is an excellent one, Michael. A great university should be strong in everything it does. It should be strong in history and English and the arts and the social sciences, and as well as in science and technology. And our goal is to have a university at that level, and I think we're blessed to have that kind of broad excellence. And I think that is one of the things that will make this program particularly attractive to scholars. You can come, and whatever field you want to study in, you're going to have great faculty available to you.
I've got to tell you, John Hennessy, that there was a quote actually today in the New York Times about the Knight Gift from Malcolm Gladwell. I don't know if you saw it. Malcolm Gladwell, of course, has been on forum a number of times as writer for The New Yorker and author of The Tipping Point. And he said, quote, "This is just part of the crazy arms race between the top schools with no connection to reality. If Stanford cut its endowment in half and gave it to other worthy institutions, then the world really would be a better place."
Well, I'm not sure when Malcolm gave that quote whether he was aware of the circumstances surrounding this gift. A, that it is primarily going to financial aid for students, and B, that it's going to try to educate people who will make important contributions to what I think we all agree are challenging problems around the world. It's not something we're going to be keeping here in a locked up in a treasure chest. It's something we're going to be spending the proceeds from every year to help educate young people.
Oh, we're getting some more pushback, and let me read some of these comments. This is from Ernst, who says, "Stanford has a $22 billion endowment. The money that Phil Knight gave to the university could have saved more than 100,000 lives from malaria, to give just one example. This is just the rich giving more money to the rich."
I think Phil Knight wants to support something that he thinks will make a difference. He thinks this program will make a difference, and I think each philanthropist has to find the way that they think they can make a positive contribution to the world. And Phil has concluded this is one that he thinks will have a significant social return to human society.
I'll give you another comment from Ben and get your response. Ben says, "Does Stanford really need more money? They're already an Ivy League level school, having millions to spare. Why not donate it to real needy people?"
I think, I think we get back to where this money is going, which is it will be going to really needy students to help them, educate them, and our long-term goal of what they'll do for the world is what's really crucial.
We're talking again with John Hennessy, who will be stepping down this year after serving 16 years as the president of Stanford. And you're going to be Knight Hennessy Program's first director, too.
I am. It's something I'm personally committed to.
And you're going to be attracting scholars from all over the world who have shown leadership and civic commitment. That's what the statement said, to benefit mankind. Inviting these people to apply, is it a little bit like, for example, the Goldman Awards? Just you put out kind of a global net and see what you can, or do you actually do a lot of, have people doing a lot of research and study to go after certain people?
Well, I think the cornerstone will be an outreach program to the undergraduate institutions around the world, since we're asking them to help us with nominations and provide a nomination of a successful student who's graduating from their program. So they will help us, I think, find great scholars, just as they do for the existing programs for Rhodes and Gates and Marshalls and Trumans. And that's a great network to rely on.
I've also got a comment here from Elena, who writes, "I came to the United States for high school and then college and graduate school, including Stanford. I believe the vast majority of students will want to stay in the United States just like I do."
Some will. Some will. We hope to choose ones who will go back and contribute to their home countries. And that will be a challenge in our selection process, obviously.
Again, we're talking to President Hennessy, outgoing Stanford president. And here's a comment from Kurt, who says, "Knight's gift comes with strings attached. This is a big problem with the current trend of philanthropic funding of public projects. However, in order to receive the gift, one must cater to the agenda, prejudices, and strings of the donor. And I'd prefer that Knight be taxed at the higher rate and the program be funded by public money with no strings attached." President Hennessy?
Well, I'm not sure what strings the caller is referring to. Phil Knight has indicated that he will have no role in the management of the program and that we'll run the program as the academic leadership and my faculty here at Stanford find appropriate.
He said this was something that he believes can be transformative, and he jumped on it right away. And we should also mention that Phil Knight recently donated $500 million to the Oregon Health and Science University for cancer research and challenged the university back in 2013 to raise $500 million in 2 years, which he said he would match. University said last June that it reached the goal. There's no challenge here. It's just an outright gift, yeah?
It's an outright gift, but our total fundraising goal will be roughly a match. Our total fundraising goal is $750 million. So we're almost matching the rest of his gift with other donations. We have several other. Bob and Dottie King, who have been deeply involved in eradicating poverty around the world, have given us money to train scholars who would be willing to work on the problem of poverty alleviation in the developing world.
And Mariana asks, how will you ensure that students get entrepreneurship through this program?
It's hard to come to Stanford and not get entrepreneurship. It's such a part of our campus, entrepreneurship, innovation, creative thinking, I think. We will certainly have opportunities, lots of opportunities for students to get exposed to those ideas.
You know, a number of students certainly veer toward the technical fields, or they even graduate early or skip graduating and enter high-paying tech fields earlier. Is that a more attractive option for students, perhaps, than what you're endorsing here?
You know, I think we'll see what students will do. We have the number of students who actually drop out from our programs. Undergraduate, it's virtually zero. And even at the graduate level, it's fairly modest numbers. Most students complete their degrees, and that's certainly what we'd be emphasizing. I think it will help that with a scholarship, we're removing the financial pressure they might feel to depart their studies early and ensure that they can complete them and put their degree to good work.
But anything being done to make sure that students will fulfill education that might not provide as lucrative a paycheck?
You know, in the end, that's going to be up to us. We are doing one. We have one novel idea, which we're incorporating, Michael, and that's to create a small venture fund to help support scholars as they graduate who want to launch new nonprofits. We've discovered with a lot of our students who have an interesting new idea and want to launch a nonprofit, perhaps to deliver a new low-cost health product in part of the developing world, they have a very hard time getting started. So we have a small fund available that we can help them get started and pursue that dream.
President John L. Hennessy, outgoing Stanford president, thank you so much for joining us on Forum for this segment.
Thank you, Michael.
Congratulations also on your upcoming new job, which is going to be taking over this new program that we've been talking about. We're also going to have a bit of a new program. We're going to talk to Ethan Kanen when we return, who has returned to San Francisco, now professor at the University of Iowa and author of a new novel, and we'll find out all about it when we return. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.